This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We're all in. We're all in.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
TJ, you're the Cowboy fan here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
The Rich Eisen Show.
As of now, no new contracts for Dak, CeeDee, or Micah. Micah at least is taking the pressure cooker off with him by him saying, I'll wait my turn.
Earlier on the show, Baseball Hall of Famer George Brett. Coming up, actor Billy Magnuson. Plus, what's more likely, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. How is everybody out there? Hopefully a little bit better than me. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. I'm sitting in my home personal office conducting the show because I got the Rona. And but right now, the Rona is not winning. I feel like I'm winning right now. I feel like I'm ahead of the game. And I just decided, you know what, I'll just do the show from home. And we had a great chat with George Brett in hour number one, talking about the pine tar incident, as it has been known for now 41 years. The anniversary is on Wednesday. Talked about Bobby Witt Jr. He says the best young Royals player he's ever seen. Obviously, that includes Bo Jackson. Chat a little bit about Bo. That was a lot of fun. Billy Magnuson, the actor in hour number three, is in a new movie called Coup that also stars Peter Sarsgaard, who is terrific and Presumed Innocent as well. Mm-hmm. On Apple TV, which you can see right here on the Roku platform. That's what Susie and I caught up on over the last couple of weeks. At any rate, he's in studio in hour number three. That'll be a lot of fun chat with him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm still here. We could still have a chat, even though I'm not in the studio. TJ Jefferson has the day off too, so Del Tufo and Brockman are holding down the fort. Is it weird? It's just the two of you sitting there together?
It's really strange because here's the thing. We have all of this studio space, yet Mike and I are still sitting like 8 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to go sit at your desk. I might go sit at TJ's at one point.
You should move around. Explore the space.
Explore the studio space.
I might lay on the couch. Like, I don't know.
Yep.
Depends on Rich's got a fever. I'm kidding. I mean.
Hey. No. Thankfully, that is one thing I do not have. I could use more cowbell, though.
Gotta have more cowbell. That could help. Right?
I don't know. And what this proves is I just put my pants on one leg at a time. Just like, except when I show up, I make gold-plated records. All right, listen. yesterday, we started the program by saying it's kind of silly season, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the NFL, waiting for games to start and training camps getting up and running. And there's really only one quarterback competition of which to speak where we don't know who's starting or don't have any, you know, sense of who's a front runner, kind of. I mean, right now, Aiden O'Connell's atop the depth chart of the Las Vegas Raiders with Gardner Minshew having a more sizable two-year contract that he received in the offseason. We assume to be the starting quarterback and bringing a little bit of Stabler to the 21st century old school Antonio Pierce Raiders. And other than that, I mean, we're just expecting Jaden Daniels to get the gig, just like we know Caleb Williams is going to get the gig, and we're assuming Bo Nix is going to get the gig. I mean, Sean Payton came out of training camp's practice yesterday just singing that kid's praises. I can't imagine that Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson will beat out the rookie from Oregon who started over 60 games in his career in college with Auburn as well, and being drafted 12th overall certainly puts you in a position to push you on the field faster. I don't believe Sam Darnold is going to be in a competition with a 21-year-old rookie and J.J. McCarthy, who I don't even think he's getting third-team snaps right now. So I'm just wondering where we're finding our information or grist for the mill outside of contract holdouts or hold-ins and things like that. And then the Muppets arrived. And I'm not joking. I guess one Muppet in particular, the goat of Muppets. The Gamoat.
Who is the goat of Muppets?
It's Kermit the Frog. It's Kermit the Frog.
And Miss Piggy.
And somebody brought a Kermit the Frog doll to Raiders training camp yesterday and put a Mahomes jersey on Kermit. And also put a Mahomes type haircut on Kermit, and unfortunately, it wound up in the hands of a rookie. right? That's Trey Taylor on the screen,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, he's seventh round pick out of Air Force.
But he's a pretty good player, right?
Good, good player. But
and obviously, when you come from Air Force, you come from good stock. And he put the frog on, and we all know about Mahomes' voice and how it let's be honest, it does have a very it's Kermit-ish, right? It's Muppet-esque.
There's a rasp to it. Yeah, sure.
There's something to it. But this is not what you want. Like, this is Muppet board material. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes' personal trainer saw this video and put this tweet out. Bobby Stroop, we will remember.
Oh gosh,
that's what he put out there. And yeah, I mean, the blood's already bad when you go back the decades, correct? But it's also not great when it comes to just these two teams. The last loss of the Chiefs season last year was when the Raiders went into Arrowhead on Christmas and beat them. And then on Max Crosby's podcast, Antonio Pierce, when he was getting the check mark from Crosby, like he wants Pierce to be the coach, right? He said that the way there's Mahomes rules, right? There's a certain way, and it's to knock the head off the snake, and the head's 15, right? The snake is 15.
Yep.
So believe it or not, Patrick Mahomes was asked about the Kermit the Frog doll today at training camp. Okay, I think we have that soundbite somewhere in there in the control room there. It was quite the moment that best player in the National Football League was asked about a team making fun of his voice with a doll.
I was going to say, we'll hear it in a second, but could you imagine you have to waste Patrick Mahomes' time asking him about this because it's an actual thing?
Well, I mean,
that
his trainer did say they'll remember.
And it's a rival.
What about Mahomes himself? Here you go.
You should probably seen the video of the Raiders with the Muppet of you. Is that something that you kind of compartmentalize and use when you're getting ready to play them?
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in the year. Kind of stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
Patrick, how many, like, do a ton of people send that to you to make sure you're aware of it?
Not really, honestly. Everybody kind of just lets me play. I mean, they know how I am, so they don't need to send me anything to keep me motivated.
I mean, how quickly is that going to be on a t-shirt? It's going to get handled when it gets handled.
Handled when it gets handled. October 27th, by the way.
I was just going to say, when's the first matchup?
I mean,
what do we do?
By the way, this is also I have the Black Friday game as well. So I'm if I'm like the Jim Henson Workshop, I'm like, let's make a, like, I mean, we get to sell our gear on Black Friday. I mean, let's go, right? Like, that's I'd use this as an opportunity.
Make it
so I can't believe this, but
why would you do that?
Antonio Pierce was asked about this.
Oh gosh. Oh, come on.
Hey, coach, your rookie is handed a whose job is it to tell Antonio Pierce that there's a video out there of Trey Taylor and a bunch of other Raiders having fun with a Kermit the Frog doll that's been dressed up like Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes' trainer saw it and he said, we'll remember. And hey, coach, you know, just like, whose job was it to tell, you know, Tom Coughlin about anything stupid, right? You know what I mean?
Not a great gig. That's not the, intern, you know, in draft day, the intern that kept having to bug in and then his computer got broken and he was a little bit of a comic relief. Like, is that guy? Is it somebody on his level and that pay scale? That's the guy that's got to inform Antonio Pierce about this. Hey, coach, there's this viral video that's going around Taylor with a Kermit and he's got the hair and is he wearing a Mahomes? Yeah, he's wearing a Mahomes jersey.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I think that might be our new RES consulting silo, right? Like, that we're in charge. Like, we're the ones, you reach out to us to be the one to tell the ultimate boss the tough news.
I think
We'll break it to you.
I think so. Like,
and it depends on what, you know, whether you want hard, straightforward, just no nonsense, information. I think you'd be that person. I think the one to be sort of more of a velvet glove nice approach would be TJ, who's nice about everything.
Yep.
I think if you want somebody who will just say the wrong thing, even though he thinks he's saying the right thing, that's you, Del Tufo. I think you're that one. And then keeps hammering the point, keeps revisiting it. And after it's already been discussed, I think that's you. I don't know what role I would play. I'd be the one, maybe I'm the spin doctor about how to handle it afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you're going to find
guys handle that.
Yeah. You're going to, yeah.
You'd be the three to break the news. And then I'm the one who's like, all right, here's how we're going to handle this publicly. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So that's a new function of RES Consulting. That said, Antonio Pierce was asked.
Oh, gosh.
The Kermit the Frog doll.
Like after practice, there was a video going viral with the Kermit doll or whatever. Do you like leaning into that kind of stuff, talking trash, or do you kind of tell the guys to stay away from it?
No, we addressed it as a team yesterday. We nipped it in the butt. It's over with.
What does that mean, it's over with?
Oh, let me tell you who it's not over with for.
Well, I mean, no, it's over Holmes. With. He nipped it in the bud. So does that mean if somebody brings a Fozzie the Bear that looks like Kelsey, that just we're not touching
right.
it?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
A Dr. Teeth for like if it was Denver, you brought a Dr. Teeth for LA.
Beaker. You someone know? Brought a beaker for somebody beaker. Or like beaker. Yeah. You know, Stadler and Waldorf, Zandy Reed and somebody, right?
Don't. By the way, he's a Rich Eisen show. Rich Eisen show exclusive. I have a portion. Somebody texted me a portion of Antonio Pierce's speech to the team, nipping it in the bud. Would you like to hear?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I have it right here. And it's interesting. It's kind of maybe a little out of context, but who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that and somebody believed it. And look what it's done so far. Mm. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What so we think we might see? Someday we'll find it. That rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's one way to nip it in the bud. I think that's one way to bring everyone together.
Yep. That's great.
To understand the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
And also to knock it off.
Who's the Swedish chef on the Chiefs? That's what I'm wondering.
The Swedish chef.
What are we going down a list of characters
Big
here?
Bird.
Oh my God.
Rizzo the Rat? Is that Pacheco? Like, you know what I mean? Like let's avoid this at all costs, guys.
Yeah, no. Let's just knock off the Muppet Show.
Gonzo? You can't leave out Gonzo.
Could you imagine, man?
Gonzo.
By the way, worst job of the offseason.
Is that Hollywood Brown? It's Gonzo?
No, hold on a second. Worst job of the offseason was whoever's job it was to tell John Mara that Saquon was going to the Eagles. Oh. Right?
Well, I mean, we kind of saw it on Hard Knocks, kind of.
Was it Joe Shane?
Well,
was it Shane?
I think John Mara's quote was he wouldn't be able to sleep or something if he saw him on the Eagles. Yeah,
right. And then it happened. So somebody had to tell him. I would think he didn't just learn it by seeing an alert on his phone, right? Like John Mara wasn't scrolling Twitter.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that has like Pelissero notifications on.
Yeah, So somebody had to tell him. You know what I mean? And that ain't good. But we would step in for RES Consulting. We're there to tell you, and we're there to help spin it for you. And right now, to everybody in the NFL in training camp season, if anybody hands you a Muppet dressed as the opponent that could do the most damage to you and the rest of the league, quite frankly, don't take the cheese.
Turn and walk away.
Don't. Turn and walk away.
Yeah.
And look for that rainbow connection.
Like Paulie and Goodfellow, they have to turn my back on you right now.
Oh, I just got some more. I just got some more from Vegas. Have you been fast asleep? And have you heard? Okay. Think we've beaten this into the ground, have we?
Nope. We're still good.
Have we covered?
We can
full
hit
team
this.
Coverage?
We can hit. We're going to hit this full on. Here's a little teaser, Rich. Might have a what's more likely about this.
I'll head to the Henson Workshop in Hollywood today.
Hey, man, seriously, they play on Black Friday. Jeez, I mean, unfortunately for them, it's not the first time that they play each other. That's the second time. Because if not that, it's like, get your Kermit the Frog here, man. And all different gear.
Well, the Black Friday game is home, is at Arrowhead.
Okay.
So,
oh my God. Bring your frog Kermit dolls, right?
If the Chiefs are smart, they do a Kermit giveaway that day or something. Yeah. Like, take advantage of this. Spin it. Man. Spin it forward.
Oh, people to wind up with it on camera. It's a rookie.
Of all people. Ugh.
Oh, and I feel for the kid, too, because I'm a coach. It's just like, what are you doing, man? Antonio Pierce, he does have the Coughlin in him. I'm sure that wasn't a good moment. All right, so let's take a break. It's a What's More Likely Friday. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show here on a wild Friday.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's BLEAV podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting here in my home office.
Hey,
so Rich. You see behind me there? There's my first pitch.
I was there that day.
You were warming me up.
I helped you warm up.
I was not accurate at all, and I was.
That was a long time ago, by the way.
I was looking at you. Well, yeah, I mean, you could see. I don't know if you could see.
Is that 12 or 13? What year was that?
I don't know, but in one hand, one arm, I have one son, and another arm, I have another son, and they're currently about to turn 16.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Susie was pregnant with Taylor.
Okay, so maybe it was 13? Must have been 13.
Were you there? Were you present when I told Don Mattingly, who was the manager at the time, that we were about to...
I was.
We were naming. We were the middle name of my daughter was Mattingly, after him.
Yeah.
And the look he gave me.
He's like,
just the number of times that I have clowned myself in front of that man. I've lost track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are who you are.
Really, since we went with our first name is Taylor, and that's his son's name is Taylor Mattingly.
Oh,
wasn't weird at all. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The Rich Eisen Show desk is my home desk in my home because I'm starting to feel some symptoms after yesterday's show and took a test. And sure enough, there was that dreaded second line. So hope to be back in the chair on Monday. Everything feels well, and I get to see just one line right there. TJ went back home, right? Do we know if he made it there?
I haven't heard from him. He was, I mean, his mom's probably watching, but he
said he was going to arrive.
He didn't want us to tell us, but he was going back. He's going to surprise his mom. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't surprise.
Surprise.
Well, what if he's not there yet? I was gonna say, what if his mom watching?
But he said I should get that right when the show started. He said he's going to get that right as the show started.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because every plane flight the last few days has been
perfectly on time and running without issue.
Yeah. It's not like TJ could be in some airport somewhere sleeping on his bag.
The airline industry has been perfect in the last week,
like the rest of everyone else.
Didn't Tom drive 18 hours home?
Yeah, yes. Pelissero drove back to Minnesota. Did he not talk about that when he was on with Seuss?
No, not really. But he was stuck in Salt Lake and then just decided to drive.
Drive.
So the Mariners acquired Arena for a bag of baseballs, right?
Well, I was going to do that in a news update, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll do that in the news. Thanks. That's in hour number three. Billy Magnuson in studio in hour number three.
You Red Sox just get are making moves. Rich, did you see this? That a lot of Yankee fans, because you guys are struggling, think that you should trade the Martian.
To who?
Just for whoever. You guys need to make moves. And in those moves, you need to give up the Martian. Jason Dominguez.
Well, the Martian, you're talking about Jason Dominguez, who, when he was healthy last year before tearing his
bombs.
He was dropping bombs, and it looked like he was doing that in the minors coming back from the injury that ended his season last year. And I believe the night that Giancarlo Stanton had it finally came down with his annual soft tissue injury, he got hurt as well significantly. So who's going to trade for him? I don't know. I mean, but if the Yankees trade the Martian, they better get somebody incredibly significant back. You know, Mason Miller would be somebody they'd love to have, and a whole bunch of people, but didn't he just got hurt.
Yeah, he got
on the IL 15.
Yeah, in an act of frustration, it sounded like he injured a pinky.
So
I don't know if he punched something.
I don't even know who would be available if the Yankees would give up somebody that they desperately need in this lineup right now, the minute that he's healthy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how things change. When the Yankees were 50-22, it's just like, well, where are they going to find room for Dominguez? Just keep him down in the minor leagues. Let him keep on marinating down there. And then all of a sudden, J.D. Davis is batting cleanup against the Mets.
Yeah, Ben Rice suddenly hit 3 home runs. Now he suddenly can't get a hit and is not playing against lefties.
All right. Why are you bringing this up?
Sorry. Well, we were talking baseball for a second, so I was just kind of, trade that.
Well, we were talking baseball for a second, then we were dropping baseball because you wanted me to hold off because that's one of your items.
There were some things that are happening. Okay. I don't know.
Tomorrow night, there's a big game.
What's that? Yankees tonight.
That I'm mixing.
Oh, you are?
Yes. It's the first time I'm actually mixing a Yankees and Boston Red Sox game.
Great job,
Mike.
You've never done that in your career?
I have never done it. I've done both teams separate, but never together.
So that one night where I heard the ball come off of Butch Hobson's bat so perfectly, that wasn't you, Mike, years ago?
No, Rich.
Oh, okay. No. Oscar Gamble's home run? No. You were those years ago?
No, but tomorrow night.
Should I keep going on with this bit?
Yes, because I won't probably remember half the people you mentioned.
No, you don't remember. Those were. I just named some players that were playing in that rivalry when you were a police officer.
Oh.
I believe. Like, yeah. 86. None of what I just said lines up with real time. It doesn't really work. All right, it's a What's More Likely Friday. Let's do it, Chris Brockman.
Let's go.
Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have?
Well, there's nobody else here, so hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very well.
You know how I'm doing.
Great to see you. Rich, feel better.
We can shake hands.
Thanks.
Lots of fluids and good stuff. Okay, here we go. Let's get right to it. What's more likely Friday? Love it. The wide receiver holding out more likely to fully return to camp first. CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Ja'Marr Chase.
Wow!
Fully returned means practicing.
Two are holding in, so
I'm saying practice.
Like we're through it. It's over. It's over, and they're playing.
I want to see Twitter videos from 200 feet away of them making an amazing catch on my feed. CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Ja'Marr Chase.
Can I say none of them? Can I say none of them right now?
Wait. It's the first one to come.
No,
back.
That's not it. First one to get back. I will say, I will say Ayuk.
Really? I don't know why. I don't know why I think this, because we traditionally think of them as being super cheap. I weirdly think Ja'Marr Chase will be back first.
You think so? Yeah. None of us think it's CeeDee Lamb, though.
No, absolutely not. I think CeeDee is going to get every penny.
Don't you think he's the only one asking for Justin Jefferson's money?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's the only one. Again, he has more catches through the first 4 years of his career than Justin Jefferson, who's setting records.
Well, he can point to last year and look and say, hey, that guy wasn't even playing. Look at all I did last year, 1,700 yards and a bajillion touchdowns.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think the Niners will get this thing done. I just think they'll figure it out. And I don't blame you for saying Chase also. Because T. Higgins is signed for his tender, and they can't talk contract until next year, so that's handled. Trey Hendrickson is still out there, correct? As an issue, I'm just trying to attach Chase's contract demand with somebody else's contract demand, just like CeeDee has with Dak, right? So, but Dak's going to be there. I just think it's Ayuk. I'll say Ayuk and maybe it's because I just, don't want to wear, consume any of Mike Del Tufo's clothing. I'm already sick enough right now.
That might be a cure. Who knows? All right,
I'm already on the show.
I'm putting these two guys together because I think that they both could have insanely dynamic, awesome seasons. Anthony Richardson, Breece Hall. Breece Hall says he wants to rush for 1,000. Well, I think he can do better than that. Only one back last year had over 1,200 yards.
Yes.
So who's the more likely scenario to go down? Breece Hall goes for 1,200 or Anthony Richardson becomes the fifth quarterback to rush for 1,000 in a season.
Oh, I'll go Breece Hall over that. It's, you know, Richardson's got Jonathan Taylor there too. So I think, you know, they, as you heard Shane Steichen say, the Colts head coach, hey, you don't tell Steph Curry to shoot fewer threes.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're not going to tell Anthony Richardson just because you got hurt and your shoulder got hurt, you know, leaping for or, you know, diving for pylons, getting in the end zone, that we're going to limit your running. I just think, you know, Jonathan Taylor is going to be the main runner of the football there. And so I'll go Breece Hall. One of the things that the Jets did this year that I thought, you know, was welcome is they improved their offensive line. They went ahead and hit it, man. Yep. And that just not only helps Breece, but clearly number eight in keeping him upright for more than just four snaps this year. So I'll go Breece Hall, 1,200 yards on that.
Nice. I kind of think you're right there. Okay. We started the show with it, Rich, so we got to talk about it. The more likely team Dak Prescott eventually takes to the Super Bowl.
Someone else.
The Cowboys or the field.
I'll take the field. You know, I will do that right now. I know last year the Cowboys had a terrific regular season. And I know they believe the roster that they have drafted and are putting out there on the field on Oxnard and with the team that they'll put out there on the field in Cleveland for week one that will hopefully for them include CeeDee Lamb, right? I know they believe in it and they believe in their draft and they believe in their roster and their ability to find players that work for the system that Mike McCarthy is running and coaching up. I understand that that's what they feel. But the fact that they did not add of anyone of any significance with the exception of potentially Zeke Elliott, if he can just uncork some, you know, vintage kettlebell year, kettle pot years of football for Zeke, that they're, I don't know, man. I just don't see how this year will be different just because Jerry Jones put the lid on top of a boiling pot and told everybody you're playing for your careers here. I'm not a believer in that sort of style. I'm not a believer in that sort of I'm putting the pressure on you. And so you will then respond at your best because you want to be here. And yet that's where, you know, your identity is. And you heard Dak basically say, I don't really want to say it, but I'll say it anyway, you know.
Right.
Others in my position have gone somewhere else in their careers and they're able to love their loved ones and hug their loved ones. I mean, so that's a long-winded way of saying I'll take the field for Dak and that maybe he's got another run in him somewhere else where he's supported a little bit better.
Yeah, it's crazy. It'd be crazy to think about. How about this one? One of these guys we've been talking about all week because he's got a new hairstyle, but the other one we haven't really mentioned yet, Super Bowl 56 quarterback to throw for more yards this year, Matthew Stafford or Joe Burrow?
I'll go Stafford, brother. Oh, yeah. I'll go Stafford.
We haven't talked a lot about the Rams or Matt Stafford this week.
Nobody talks about the Rams. That's why. Nobody talks about Los Angeles football. Nobody does. But that's the way... You know, it's always been that way with the exception of what? When the Rams went on their Super Bowl run and forced everyone to talk about them. Or last year's playoff run and everyone was forced to talk about them. Yeah. Or Carroll was the head coach at USC. Straight up, man. So people don't focus on Los Angeles football. And you've got two terrific teams inside SoFi Stadium, I believe, this year. We'll see. But let's just assume... Cooper Kupp is healthier this year, right? And let's assume Puka Nacua improves this year, right? What are you saying here, right? Obviously, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are not any slouches, but I will take Stafford slinging. I will take Stafford slinging it to those two guys. That's what I will take.
All right, let's get to Mahomes real quick. I like this one. Thought of this driving this morning. The more likely single game NFL pass record Mahomes breaks against the Raiders this year.
Right.
Yards or touchdowns? Does he throw for 600 or does he throw for 9 touchdowns?
So, single NFL pass record Mahomes breaks versus the Raiders this year. Yards or touchdowns?
So the single game pass record is 554. Norm Van Brocklin, 1951.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think the TD record is, is 8, I think. I think a bunch of guys have done 8.
That's insane. You're crazy, man.
Sorry, 7. Dude, 7.
You really think the Kermit the Frog stuff is still going to be living in late October?
Oh, did you see Mahomes? He literally had like the stone cold look of, it'll get handled when it gets handled.
Yeah. I'll go yards. No one's throwing for 9 touchdowns, pal. They're just not. I mean, if Mahomes is throwing for 5-6 touchdowns, they're not keeping him in the game. 500 yards is a different story. 500 yards could be a shootout. 500. I'll go yards. Touchdowns, that record will never be broken. How does that sound?
7. The record's 7. Okay. 8. So, come on, someone could throw for 8. All right. I just think he's just going to go nuts. They're going to try to get him every record in that game.
Good one.
All right, Mikey, 2 more. Switch to music real quick. I want to talk about the 2 most exciting players in baseball. So what's more likely? Elid De La Cruz steals the most bases in the 2000s. That'd be 78. Or Paul Skeens wins the Cy Young. De La Cruz is at 51 with about 60 games left.
Can I say both?
Ooh.
Is that an answer?
No, I mean,
is that an appropriate answer?
What's more likely is one of the other.
I think I'll go Skeens wins the Cy Young. I think he can do it. He just gets stronger, doesn't he? I can't believe it, man. All that business.
They could have got him any runs the other day.
Pitches, yeah. 99 pitches, take him out in a no hitter, and then after his All Star appearance, they let him come out in the 9th.
That's what I thought the exact same thing. I'm yelling at the TV. What are we doing? Just let him go for the no-no then.
I don't know. Is that the reactionary, like, we're not taking Skeens out. Let's throw him out there for the 9th. I don't know.
His Let's pitch count was do. About the same, I guess. He only was.
I guess
like
damned if you do, damned if you don't. Take him out in a no-hitter. We'll complain about you. You keep him out there in the 9th inning, and he gives up another run and with no support, and he loses. You know? And so we're unhappy either way.
Yeah, most steals this century. Jose Reyes had 78 in 07.
I don't know. I mean, Skeens is probably going to have a few more starts, one would think, against teams that see him for the first time. So that will be. I don't have his. I don't have his game log, pitching. You know, expectations. I don't have a list in front of me about anything that's in the future about who he might face.
Yeah, he's out here against the Dodgers in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but he's already seen them, right? But that was when they were in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But all that said is, you know, De La Cruz is I'm going to say both. I'll say both, but I have to choose between one. I'll go with Skeens winning the Cy Young. I'll do that. Hell yeah. That'll be amazing.
Love those guys.
What a moment.
Love those guys. All right, last one, Rich. We didn't talk much about it, but Xander Schauffele won his second major, taking home the Open last weekend. How about this? Because we've been talking about it. Who's more likely to complete the career Grand Slam first, Xander or Rory?
Let me ask you this question.
Xander needs 2. Rory just needs the Masters.
Right. I apologize for these 2 things. One is the fact that I have COVID. The reason why you just called it a Grand Slam because I feel like
I'm sorry.
Yes, I feel like I'm winning the Grand Slam today. To be honest with you. I don't know if that's what it was, you know, and this answer will disappoint you because I know you're such a Rory stan.
You're going to say right? Xander, aren't you?
Oh, yep. Man,
he is just on a heater right now.
How about this one? How about this one, Chris? Who's more likely to win Player of the Year? Schauffele or Scheffler?
You know, I had that as an overreaction on Monday. We didn't get to it.
This is your bailiwick. Who do you think? Because Scheffler was unstoppable.
I know, and he's won so many elevated events.
Until he tried to get into Valhalla on a rainy Friday morning. Didn't he win the next week? I don't know. I forget.
So he won. Yeah, he's won the week after that.
Okay.
He's won 6 events.
But he's got just the one major.
He won 6 events, including the Masters and the Players. I guess the Players is the 5th major. But 2 majors. Trump's won, right?
Huh?
And he's on a heater. I kind of think Xander's Player of the Year.
Okay.
He started out too hot. Xander's been Xander's been hot.
I kind of think, you know, with that sort of deal, what's more likely is right now, I think it's more likely that Xander Schauffele wins player of the year.
We'll see who does better in the Olympics. Xander, you're defending gold medalist.
Does that really matter?
Absolutely not.
You know what I mean? Like,
not at all.
Olympic golf competition? Would that
not for, is not Scheffler, PGA
is
player of the year,
competing too?
Yeah. So Team USA is Xander, Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, and I'm blanking on the fourth guy. I guess
it's not a bad Team USA.
Not a bad team.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So no DeChambeau, the guy who won the U.S. Open.
No,
he didn't make it.
Sadly, DeChambeau not involved. Colin Morikawa is the fourth. Yeah. Sadly, DeChambeau not very deserving. Probably should be in over Wyndham, but not there.
Okay. Excellent. What's more likely, Christopher?
Thank you,
sir. Well done. I appreciate it.
Mikey, you didn't like it?
No, I loved it. Okay. I always like it.
Well, you gave me kind of a,
I liked it.
All right.
You know, Mike's already just where he's thinking about his faders.
You're tonight. Already thinking about Yankees Red Sox tomorrow night?
Yeah, it'd be game. National.
Tomorrow night, it's game. Tonight.
Yeah, but he's doing tomorrow night. He's doing tomorrow.
Tonight's the first one.
That's on Baby Fox tomorrow night.
Oh,
right?
No. That's Big Fox National. That's big the big
Fox.
Game. That is the prime time. Yeah.
Prime
that's
time, the baby. Big
one. Okay. With Burkhart and everyone in studio,
I'm not a studio show guy anymore, Rich.
I've been away a long time.
Drinks are on.
Drinks are on the house. Big Fox.
We'll take a break. I've got a top five. Five when we come back. Yes. I've got a top five comeback player of the year candidates. Ooh. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on the final Friday of July. You met Prince, correct?
Yeah. I never forget. We were at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Security came to me to my seat at the end of the show or towards the end of the show and said, Prince wants you to come on stage. I was like, okay. Yeah, he wants you to come on stage now. All right. So I'll go on stage. It's me, Whoopi Goldberg, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, a bunch of other people on stage. And we went to this after-hour spot after the concert, a place called Village Underground in the village.
Sure. Oh, it's famous.
Yeah. And so, you know, because Prince likes to jam afterwards. Well, Prince just went to go listen to the musicians. And so it's Prince, his assistant, myself. And I see Prince lean over to his assistant. And then all of a sudden, the assistant leans over to me and says, I don't know why I do this voice, but it's like, Prince wants you to come back and have pasta and pizza. I was like... okay. And then Prince got up and left, and she got up and left. I don't know why her voice is so deep because it was a woman.
She got up and she left. Because you were summoned.
Yes.
You were summoned by royalty.
And there was, you know, an array of people in the living room, and I went back to find Prince, and he was back there holding court with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, and he looked up and like smiled and gave me the peace sign, and I went back in, and we had pasta and pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. How did Prince like his pizza? This is very important. The toppings is a window into one's soul.
First off, there was no meat on the pizza, and I didn't see Prince eat any pizza. We would go to his house, man, for the house parties, and it'd be Stevie Wonder playing the piano, Malcolm Jamal Warner on bass, Rochelle Farrell singing lead. It was just amazing, man. And then you would get into like 5 o'clock in the morning, his chef is serving you breakfast. You're like, why am I at Prince's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, man?
All on our YouTube channel. Please find it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, game time tickets. Make sure that you have your mobile device handy when you want to buy tickets and use the Game Time app that we've been telling you about for darn near a year now. Game time tickets, I use it. Everybody in the Rich Eisen Show orbit in our studio uses it because it takes guesswork completely out of buying any tickets for anything, sports, music, comedy, events, anything near you, but baseball in particular. It is it's a joy because you get to see the all-in pricing. Toggling that feature shows you the total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. Most important is you get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy the seat that you're looking at. And then the prices actually go down the closer it gets to the opening pitch on Game Time. Take that guesswork, as I mentioned, totally out of buying baseball tickets, in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Phone lines are lit. Greatly appreciate that, even though I'm lit up on DayQuil. Ed in Maryland, you're here on the program. What's up, Ed?
How you doing, Rich? I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I tweet you guys all the time, and you never respond, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. We apologize.
It's all good. I just had to call in. To defend the honor of my Raiders. I mean, I do see that over the years, and even most recently, you have given the Raiders some deference. But it's the rest of the crew that comes with this blatant disrespect every day.
Disrespect is real.
I'm over it.
Well, Ed, you know, here's why the disrespect is there, okay? In a quarterback-driven league, you're in a division with Kermit the Frog, right? And you're in a division with, no, in all seriousness, with Mahomes. And you're in a division with Justin Herbert. And now we assume a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. And the Raiders went into the draft where there were six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. Unfortunately, because Antonio Pierce was so darn good as the interim head coach, they wound up with the 13th overall selection, couldn't find their way to be able to move up in front of a whole bunch of other quarterback needy teams. And they came out with no quarterback. And it's going to be a second year of either Aiden O'Connell or a first year of a now journeyman, is the way you could describe one of our favorites in Gardner Minshew. And then the running back situation, Josh Jacobs goes. Zamir White helped get me to my fantasy final last year. Not a lot of people know about him. Jacoby Myers is wide receiver number two to Devontae Adams, who's all over Netflix right now, MFing Jimmy G. You know, so that's where some of this disrespect comes from. You know what I'm saying?
Can I respond? Just
please
a little bit. Yes, we understand the quarterback situation. I'll say it here first. Aiden O'Connell is going to beat Al Gardner Minshew.
You
do that down.
You think that okay?
Later.
First, write it down.
Date. But, we understand the quarterback situation. And that's fine, because even with that quarterback situation, Aiden O'Connell, under a garbage playbook and a first-time play caller, still beat the Chiefs. Probably should have beaten the Chargers in that first game if perhaps McDaniels could have decided to maybe help on Khalil Mack. That probably would have been a sound strategy. But either way, I mean, you know, we still – and we're not scared of the Broncos at all. I mean, it's been 4 years since they've even beaten the Raiders. I'm not scared of the Chargers. I mean, you know, we tend to split with them, you know, seems like every year. But every year we hear media folks trump up the fortunes of the Broncos and the Chargers, and pretty much every year it never happens. While simultaneously crapping on the Raiders, and we somehow end up being in second place majority of the time. However,
whole
thing under AP is completely different. The energy, everything around this team, even at camp, is completely different. And the one thing that you guys haven't talked about in lieu of the Mahomes thing was those Raider players, particularly on the defense, they are really upset at the disrespect that the media has been giving. And so they are working now to pay that back.
I hear you, Ed, and I greatly appreciate the call. But call back, Ed. Appreciate it. I know you've been a first-time caller here and long-time listener. Greatly appreciate it. Very passionate. Defense of the Raiders' chances this year. As you know, I'm a big Max Crosby fan. I have been since jump.
And don't forget, they have Christian
Wilkins.
He came
off the campus at Ypsilanti. And I know. And I think the two of them, it's going to be great. And Antonio Pierce and his staff will know what to do with them. But again, it's a quarterback-driven league. I just think it's fascinating. The Raiders, who own Los Angeles, still, right? I mean, like you go to any game that the Raiders play in that SoFi Stadium, it feels like they're the home team. Perfect team to throw in there in Jim Harbaugh's first game to see if Harbaugh can affect the difference. Right there. Can't wait. And the Raiders finished really well. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I got a top five, gents. Top five right here. Top five comeback player of the year.
Four, five. Rich's top five.
All right, top five comeback player of the year candidates. Hit me with the music. Number five, again, I somehow left him off of the underrated difference maker list from a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of rectified that with his own segment yesterday talking about him. Anthony Richardson, let's see what this kid can do. You know, Chris, you threw out a what's more likely possibility of him having a 1,000-yard rushing season. I love to see what Shane Steichen's going to do. The mesh point action between him and Jonathan Taylor should open up a ton of stuff with Michael Pittman and the rest of that passing game. I can't wait to see it. If he has a dynamite year, he can be a defensive, a comeback player of the year candidate. Number four on this list, when he got hurt last year, he was running like a house of fire, and everyone was wondering if he would never play another down again. And now here's Nick Chubb on the verge of hopefully coming back as strong as ever. Nick Chubb's number four on this list. If he can run for 1,000 yards and do what he was doing when he took that awful hit in an awful spot with his leg in an awkward position last year, I believe it was in Pittsburgh. If he can go and have a Nick Chubb-type season, he can be a comeback player of the year award winner the Saturday before the Super Bowl. Number three on this list, when you come back from an Achilles and you're in advancing years and you're Kirk Cousins and you can go to Atlanta in a new spot and show up after hurting your Achilles in the middle of the previous season and ball out to your new teammates and look like they've been your teammates forever, then maybe Kirk Cousins can be your guy. Number three for the comeback player of the year candidate on my top five list that now moves to the blondie. I'm going Joe Burrow right here.
Okay.
I'm going to go Joe Burrow number two overall. Obviously, the weaponry is sitting there for the Cincinnati Bengals, just like in previous years, with the exception of Tyler Boyd. I kind of dig the Zach Moss running back flow chart that Chase Brown is right behind. I have a feeling Chase Brown's going to overtake Zach Moss at some point. But I kind of dig Joe Burrow, number two overall, coming back from that freak injury last year. But number one is when you're 40 years old and your Achilles snaps, just four snaps in, and there's a huge expectation level for you and you're Aaron Rodgers. I know this is not the award he wants. He wants the Lombardi Trophy. He wants the Super Bowl MVP and an MVP. Maybe he could be MVP and they give comeback player of the year to somebody else because he's going to take down the MVP trophy. But Aaron Rodgers is not my top comeback player of the year candidate with everything set up for him. Better offensive line, Breece Hall talking 1,000 yards, Garrett Wilson, the whole thing. But for Jets fans, that's exactly how everybody felt at this point last year. That's my top five list. Okay. All right, George. All right, here's one more. The comeback player of the year award last few years has been given to somebody who's coming back from just obscurity or the couch or lack of opportunities. And if we're going to give out that award that way, I'm going to go Sam Darnold, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Darnold. He's starting his season in the spot where once upon a time Belichick made him see ghosts in MetLife Stadium. He's taking on the Giants. He's going to take on the Jets in
Tottenham.
That's right. That guy. Maybe he's going to just be seeing Justin Jefferson a lot. And Jordan Addison, if he can knock off the knucklehead behavior. And TJ Hawkinson, if he can come back healthy. And Aaron Jones. And everything is set up for him to succeed. If the Comeback Player of the Year award is given to somebody coming back from lack of opportunity to the bench, Sam Darnold's your guy. He's the clubhouse leader in the Comeback Player of the Year award version that the previous few years have been. And that's my top five list.
I love that. I mean, come back from the bench. Flacco, bench. Geno Smith, bench.
He came back from the couch. He wasn't even on the bench. It was post-Halloween he won that award. Unbelievable.
Yeah, love it.
Hour number three, Billy Magnuson, the actor in studio. Don't go anywhere. Still here on Roku, everybody.
Yeah, this the comeback player of the year is going to be so spicy. I know I had an overreaction.
Who else did I miss?
Daniel Jones. I had the overreaction about Daniel Jones. I just saw he threw an amazing 50-yard bomb to Neighbors today.
Woo. Okay.
So.
Okay.
He's back.
Man, Giants fans hoping for that.
That might be the, is Neighbors down there? Cool. I'm just going to throw it and then see if he comes down with it all year.
The Giants fans are hoping that's the case, man. Oof. I mean, in the front office, too. Because in the same way I just mentioned, the Raiders didn't come away with a quarterback because they won too many games under Antonio Pierce and were not in position for it. 13th overall last year. The Giants were sitting there.
Yep.
Giants were sitting there 6th overall and had a shot and decided to go Malik Nabers and give Daniel Jones some help. You know, they're going to give him some help. So sitting here in my home studio, the printer's going. We got dogs barking.
A lot going on.
Everything going on.
We can only hear anything.
Print out whatever you want, Suze. Just go ahead. No worries. There she is.
Suze's in there right now?
Suze is here right now,
Oh, my goodness.
She's indestructible. And by the way, in case you're wondering, she's double sided printing, which means the top.
Geez, that is
and it goes back in, and then it prints on the other side, and then it comes out, and then another page.
Is she collating?
Oh yeah. Is it collating? No, she does her own collating, guys.
Okay. It's important to do your own collating.
Yeah, that's Suze, everybody.
In this economy, come on.
Okay.
Okay.
Hour three coming up.
We got that.
Oh my gosh.
April Rose here, model, actress, radio host, and content creator. You know what I love most in life? Cars. Fancy ones, fast ones, but there's something even more important to me, and that's driving safely. Speeding is something that belongs on professional racetracks, okay, not on our roads. Speeding is illegal for good reason. It causes more than 1/4 of all traffic-related fatalities nationally. Now, when you speed, your ability to safely maintain control of your vehicle, it's greatly reduced. Even driving at the speed limit can be dangerous in some conditions like bad weather, construction zones, and low visibility. Now, speeding isn't just about getting to your destination faster. It's about risking everything you hold dear. Your loved ones, your dreams, that classic car you've been restoring. It all hangs in the balance. Now, speeding may seem cool or like the quicker option, but it's not. Slow down, baby. Life's too precious than to treat it like a race. When you speed, you put everyone else on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding, it catches up with you. Drive safe, friends. Paid for by NHTSA.